Reformed Church.
You know, I wanted to read something to you. I was looking at something in Luke 24, you know, quite a bit for the last couple of days and thinking about it. And, you know, you see in so many places, just in the Old Testament, you see, I mean, I'm just citing three prophets, but we don't have to go into it in detail. We don't even have to turn there, really. You can actually turn to Luke 24, verse number 1, if you like, Andre. But in Hosea 6:2, he talks there about the resurrection of Christ, how he would die and be raised on the third day. In Jonah 1:17, and we know this also, obviously, because Jesus also talks about it, I think it's in Matthew 12, but in Jonah chapter 1, just the whole thing about how many days Jonah would be in the belly of the whale. Like, you know that there was just so many repeated times. You know, Jonah was a prophet, obviously, that went to Nineveh, and I'm not sure if he prophesied anywhere else, but Hosea did also. And in Psalms, you see so many different places where the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is prophesied. And then on top of that, even to his own disciples, when Jesus was teaching them and talking with them and sharing with them and giving of himself to them and sharing his power with them and all of that for those years, you know, he actually told them point blank, like the Pharisees and the religious leaders are going to come after me and I'll be killed, but on the third day I'll be raised from the dead. Like, I mean, he just told them, right? But so many times, you know, and even to the religious leaders, I think it was the Sadducees, I don't remember exactly, right? He told them that, you know what, you tear down this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it back up. So many times that it's said, you know, by the word of God is spoken and it's prophesied, obviously before it was happening, it would be prophesied that he would die, he would suffer, and he would be raised from the dead. But it's interesting that when he actually was suffering, right, and suffered and died, it's hard, you know, and I was even thinking a little bit more on the way here. I couldn't think of an instance where any of the apostles were like, yeah, I know, he's suffering, he died, but I get it, I know. I'm just waiting for the third day because this is what he said. He said it to us so many times, and the prophets, you know, say this in Scripture. Like, it's hard to find any of the apostles that were like that, but instead, it was kind of as he had said to them that they would just be scattered, and they were scattered in more than just physical ways, right? But their hearts were saddened, their hearts were hurt by all the things that were happening. And in Luke chapter 24, and in verse number 1, if we go there real quick, and I'll do this as quickly as possible. Luke chapter 24, and verse number 1, it says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain women, with them came to the tomb bringing their spices they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and when they went in, and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Then they went in and didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, the angel said, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. So he's even reminding them, like, remember that he prophesied this very thing to you, right? And obviously in the prophets of the Old Testament, right, their prophets also spoke the same thing to them repeatedly, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again, which is what I had told you before that Jesus had actually said to them. And they remembered his words, right, which is really good, right? Because what's kind of happening here is the same thing that happens in our lives, right? We hear Scripture, right? You hear Scripture. And sometimes, even though you hear Scripture and you know certain things, when something happens, you forget it all in relationship to that, right? It's like, what happened to everything that you heard? And we act maybe and think exactly like everybody else does, right? But the cool thing is that when someone, and it could be a messenger that comes from heaven, or it could be a messenger that lives next door to you, right? But someone that comes and brings a word to you that reminds you of the word that you already knew, right? And it doesn't have to be, it could be a word that you heard that maybe you haven't been cemented on completely on. It may have been a word that you heard that you were completely good with and just had a momentary lapse in your mind, right? But the awesome thing is that to bring to our remembrance, right, which is a lot of what the Spirit of God does many times in our lives, right, is to bring to our remembrance the things that God has already said to us, right, to bring to our remembrance scripture that has already been spoken and those things that are written. So, which is what happened to these ladies, right? They remembered the words, right? They remembered the words. Now, the important thing to understand, and you'll see that kind of peppered throughout Luke 24, people do not believe because of a sign or a wonder, right? Signs and wonders are awesome to be able to point people in the right direction, to get them to listen, to get them to hear you, to be able to back up, like you've heard many times, right? To be able to back up the gospel that's being preached, right? And all of that is good. But still, the angels appearing to these women is not what made them believe, right? It was all that happened that in their minds was, it wasn't that they were so astonished by the angels and they said, oh my God, this must be true. Let us now go into our memory banks and remember, because this bright shining angel here can't be lying, right? And it wasn't all that. It was that he spoke the very words, which angels, right, could also do, but he spoke the very words that Jesus had already spoken to them, which reminded them of the things that God had already said, right? So that is really, right, where faith comes. Faith doesn't come, obviously, by seeing. And I know that's a bit of an, seems like an understatement, right? But faith doesn't come by seeing. So you'll never believe because you see Jesus on the road to Emmaus, right? You're not going to believe because you see angels. You're not going to believe because you see, you know, cloth where, you know, his face used to be, right? It's just, all of those things could point to things to lead you to listen, or, you know, all of that is good. But the thing is, it's not what caused even these women to believe, right? It was just that they remembered his word, right? And when you remember his word, right, you're just hearing all over again, right? You're just hearing all over again. And then they turned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest, right? So like we often do, right? You hear from God, you remember, and you remind other people, right? How many times do we need to be reminded? Every single day, as often as you can be reminded, right? Every single day, as often as you can be reminded, right? That's why listening to messages is awesome. That's why listening to articles is awesome. That's why coming to church is awesome, right? So that you can be reminded, right? It's awesome to be reminded. It is so awesome to be reminded. And believe you me, and even, you know, in my case, I don't care how small the truth is. As long as it's truth, I love it, right? There's no such thing for me as a truth that you're going to remind me of, or a truth that you're going to speak to me, that I say, oh, stop speaking that little truth to me. Doesn't matter to me. It could be a little truth or a big truth. It's good to bring it back to my mind, right? It could have been in my mind just 10 minutes ago, but to hear it again is good, right? It says, then in verse number 9, they returned to the tomb and they told these things to the 11 and to the rest. Verse number 10, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman with them, who told these things to the apostles. So it was to the apostles that they were speaking to. So the thing to remember is also these two men on the road to Emmaus weren't two farmers from nowhere. They were apostles, right? You'll see it in a second. Verse number 11, and their words seemed to be, so these are apostles, right? These are apostles of Jesus Christ that were taught the word of God, I mean, incessantly, right? Incessantly, on a daily basis, they were taught, right? And they hear their own brethren, right? Their own sisters in the Lord, like, this is actually the third day, right? That Jesus had already prophesied. They tell them that the angels reminded us of the word that Jesus spoke to us. And they said that the words of these women sounded like them, like idle tales, and they didn't believe them, right? So the apostles, right? And it says their words sounded like idle tales, right? So again, what they did not believe, just to filter out a couple things, was not that they didn't believe marrying the women. It wasn't really that. It wasn't that they didn't believe the angels. It's that they didn't believe the scripture, right? Because they just reminded the apostles of the same scripture, right, that Jesus had spoken to them, right? Well, I mean, it's scripture now because it's written, right? But back then it wasn't scripture. But they reminded those apostles of the words that Jesus had spoken to them about that on the third day he would be risen. And the same words that the women received, the same word that they gave back to the apostles, and they didn't believe. So when you see like a miracle, and people do this all the time, and we were actually talking about something similar yesterday, I think, at home, but some people may be skeptical. When they see a miracle, there's skepticism there, right? But skepticism, right? Skepticism is, the skepticism that there is not about, really, really about the miracle that they're seeing, right? Because you can show someone how a miracle, right, is perfectly in line with scripture. That scripture says that you should be doing this stuff, right? But it doesn't matter. Ultimately, what they don't believe is the scripture, right? It is the scripture. It's that they don't know their inheritance. They don't know what they have. They don't understand that seeing Jesus, when you see something that he has, you can understand that it's something you have. So ultimately, the problem that people can have with us is that they don't believe scripture, right? Or certain scriptures, we should say, right? Or if we're struggling with something, with a miracle that you're seeing, and you're skeptical of something that you're seeing, the only time, can I tell you something, that there is a good reason to be cautious is if you're hearing something that's contrary to scripture, right? Like you're hearing something and you can think of things that are contrary to that. I would be careful with it. I still wouldn't throw it out completely, right? Because it depends on the context of it, right? And it depends on also a sense that you might have about certain things. But because, you know, it could be things that you're hearing from the Lord and you're just, you can remember things that are contrary to that, but you're not hearing the whole thing. But regardless of that, the idea though is that that's the only time that you should be cautious or slow to believe, is when things seem contrary to scripture. But if you are hearing scripture, right, there is no reason to be slow to believe. Right? If it's based on scripture and you can see it in Jesus Christ, right, there is no reason to be slow, right? And people are slow to believe, right? They are slow because they may be skeptical about certain things. But skepticism, really, you'll see Jesus actually calls it foolishness, right? It's actually foolish. Foolish meaning almost like it's unwise, right? It's unwise to not believe when you hear or you read, right, scripture, and then you are told something or you see something that's perfectly in line with it, right? So where do we leave off in verse number 11? It says their words seem like idle tales. Oh, I have to. Well, there goes that. Okay, so give me 2 minutes here, and then we'll try to fast forward. Peter says that he marvels, right? He marvels. He ran to the tomb, right, when he had heard the women, runs to the tomb, sees the cloths, and he's still marveling to himself. That has a lot to do with expectation, right? It didn't really seem, from what you read, that there was an expectation that he was going to be raised from the dead, right? It seemed like that there was no real expectancy that he was going to be raised from the dead, because when they saw it, then they were all seemed to be astonished, or still be maybe a bit slow to believe, right? Even if there was some sort of expectation there. So there were two men then traveling on the road to Emmaus, two of the apostles, and they came, and Jesus came, and he appeared to them, and it says that they were conversing and reasoning in verse number 15. Verse number 16 says that their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him, right? I really believe that it wasn't like the Lord was closing their eyes, trying to play a little game of hide and seek with them. I believe that the reason why they could not see them is because of their unbelief, right? In other words, they were sad and distraught by what had happened, and they were not looking for Jesus, right? To them, they actually said to him, they said, because Jesus said to them, "Are you know, why are you having," in verse 17, "why are you having this kind of conversation," he says to them, "and why are you talking with one another as you walk and are sad?" And they said to him, like, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem that doesn't know the things that have happened here these days? And he said in 19, he said, what things? And they said to him, concerning the things of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in verse number 21, if you jump there, he says, we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. So they, listen to what they said, we were hoping, like we're not anymore, but we were hoping that it was him who was going to redeem Israel. In other words, he's dead. So I guess it wasn't him, right? So obviously, it shows you like the state of their mind, right? And where their hope was. And then he said to them, the two said to Jesus, that there was a certain woman, verse number 22, that there was a certain company of women, speaking of all the ladies that had came to them and told them that. And he said that they astonished us. They told us what the angel said to them about the things that Jesus had said to us, the apostles, and it astonished us that it had happened. So obviously it's unbelief in that word that Jesus spoke, right? It wasn't that they didn't see the miracle themselves, because if they didn't believe the scripture, right, they wouldn't have believed the angels, right? You don't just believe it because you see a miracle, right? And then Jesus said to them, verse 25, this is where I wanted to get with you. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, right? What are they slow to believe? Not that they saw an angel, yes or no. Not that, did he really, was there really a work of power? Did that really happen? It's that from the root of their heart, what they were not believing was the scripture, right? What they just really weren't believing the scripture. Verse number 26 says, ought not, or that also means, was it not necessary? It says, for the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. You know, we could go into other things, but what you see is at the end, Jesus starts talking to them for about 7 miles. He's talking to them. It was 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus where they lived. And he's talking to them the whole time when he joined them. I don't know where along the journey he did join them. But he was talking to them the whole time about scripture. That's all he was talking to them. What scriptures testified about him. And then when he broke bread, it says, then their eyes were opened. But the cool thing is that what their eyes were open to was the same thing that the women's eyes were open to, right? The ladies' eyes and their eyes were open to what the scripture or what Jesus had declared about himself, right? What the scripture declared about him. Basically, their eyes were opened, right? Meaning that right now they could believe, they could have faith in God, right? They could see. And that's kind of, you know, when I was praying, I was just saying, Lord, it is so good to know you, right? But it's a cool thing for you to just take it like that, right? That it's knowing the Lord. So regardless of what's going on, you know what? You're just getting to know the Lord. You're getting to know what you have. You're getting used to him and having him and what it means for him to be with you. And allow him to remind you. And as he reminds you, take the reminder, right? And he actually said to them that that he was, when he got to their house, he said he kind of was motioning. I don't know exactly, different translations say different things, but the idea is almost like he would have gone even further with them. So they said, oh, no, like they don't go, like come into the house. And he did stay with them. And that's where he broke bread with them. But the cool thing is, you know what? The Lord wants to take us so far. You know, we could go very slow, and then our hearts are going to be very slow to believe, right? Or we could go as fast as we want and take as much time as we want with him. And you know what? He'll go, even if we are being slow at first, the Lord will take, even to these men who were being slow, he took all of the time to speak for miles with them, just telling them what the scripture declared about him, right? So obviously we have we are able to do the same thing. Just take that time, right? Again, obviously taking a little bit of time makes you slow to believe because you're slow to learn. But obviously that we could definitely speed that up, right? By just making it more time that you spend with the Lord. And if you know you go for a walk, go for a walk and talk to the Lord and meditate on the Word for hours, or you know, whatever, right? Take your own walk to Emmaus with him.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.